Here we are at Insurance Lane, and this is where Jam started. In fact, you were kind of working here before Jam. That's not the case, actually. It was always Jam, wasn't it?
Well, Jam began in 74, and Jam moved in here in 77.
Okay.
So for 3 years before that, we were renting studio space or studio time as we needed it at various places. This was one of the places, and as it turns out, is the place that we went to most often to do our work. We did have a small little suite of offices elsewhere that had a little editing room in it just to do basic tape duplication and editing of masters and so on. But this was the first full studio that we ever had.
And what we're looking at is a one-story kind of boxy type building thing, isn't it? Which was never designed to be a studio. What was the actual studio part of it like?
Well, yeah, this was an old office building, essentially. And there is, or was at least at the time, a hallway going right down the middle of it from front to back. And everything on the left side, as we face it, was offices, and the right side was the studio. The control room would be farther towards the back of the building, and the studio was on the front half. Not a very large studio, but large enough. We learned how to use it, and it was essentially an L shape with the part that is closer to the front of the building being the little drum booth area where we'd set up the drums, and then the rest of the L was where we'd do everything else.
And we're standing on what I guess you would call a parking lot, you'd call this.
Yeah.
Here, wouldn't you? Now, just you told me a second ago about one of my favourite packages, the Express Pack, which starts with that fantastic evocation of what it's like to listen to radio and the long commercials before the jingles finally come in. Just explain how you produce that.
Well, striving for authenticity in audio always, and being somewhat obsessed, I wanted it to sound like all of this audio was coming through a car radio speaker with all the ambience that suggests. So we pre-produced the actual audio that was going to be heard, and then we actually ran two microphone cables from the control room down the hallway out the front door to the parking lot where my car was parked, and managed to connect the audio to the radio in my car, so that the audio really was coming out of a car radio speaker. And we had a mic a few feet away, probably in the back seat, to pick it up, with the window rolled down slightly to pick up some of this lovely car noise that you're hearing from nearby Central Expressway.
Yeah.
And we just recorded it through so that it would sound like what we wanted it to sound like. And at some point in that demo, a song starts, and it actually cross-fades seamlessly from the audio recorded in the car to the full fidelity version of
That's
the
right.
same thing.
Yeah.
And it's basically, we just lined up those two elements and just cross-faded them so that it would sound like you were coming out of the car atmosphere into the studio or something. So now, of course, it looks a lot different.
Yeah.
They've painted the exterior. The brick is all white as we look at it today. At the time, it was more of a beige color. And this area to the right here had a great big blue and white Jam Productions logo made out of big metal letters about this tall. This is where we lived.
And loads of jingles were sung here.
Many jingles were sung here for quite a long time, because before it was Jam for 10 years.
Okay.
Before that, there was a company called Sundance that was in this building. They were primarily trying to be a record label, and so they had a studio to record groups and songs and artists. The idea of them being a jingle company came a little later on.
So was it they who had converted what was just basically offices to put a studio in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they did that. After, I guess it was in 77, though, they decided that they wanted to really be a video production company, and they needed a bigger place to put all that equipment. So they were trying to sell all of their stuff here.
Yeah.
Well, that worked out nicely because we needed a studio, and this is the one we were at home in,
yes,
mostly.
Yeah.
So we made a deal to buy the equipment and take over the building and all that. And then, of course, we promptly proceeded to rebuild the whole thing. So we at least, you know, we knocked down several walls and we redid the studio completely. So, you know, nothing changed as seen from
externally,
the outside,
no.
But we did rebuild it and remake it in our own way. We moved in here in 77, stayed for 10 years. As we moved out, Thompson Creative moved in.
Oh, right. I'd forgotten that.
Larry Thompson decided that because we had been here and been very successful, that there was something magical about this location.
Oh. So they had been somewhere else in town, had they?
Yeah, yeah. So they moved in when we moved out. And I tried to tell them we were taking the magic with us.
That is for listeners to decide, isn't it? Yes,
but,
yes.
But whatever. So yeah, so it was a jingle studio for as long as he was here. I don't remember what year they finally moved.
No.
But now it's something quite different. It is apparently a very upscale hair salon.
It is.
And just peeking through the open window here at what used to be my office, I can see they've removed a lot of the interior walls, and it's one big open space.
And
now,
does it, given how it was such a formative part of the work and how much of your career was spent working in studios, sleeping on the couch when you were working all hours and so on, does it bring any strong emotions to come back and see it, or is it just a phase of life left behind there?
I am sentimental about some of the things that happened here. I don't particularly miss the building itself.
No.
I'm much happier in the place we are now,
yeah,
because it's much nicer and,
yeah,
bigger. And
this is pretty unprepossessing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a place. I mean, I can remember things that happened here and things like that fondly.
Yeah.
But I could have those same memories without standing here, so it's not so much.
Does that mean you would look at it and? So if I mention the name of a package, you will say, "Oh yeah, I can visualize singing that." So if I say Double Plus, for example.
Yeah. 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 I just, you know, of course I picture it as it was then.
Yeah.
So, and my memories are more from the inside perspective, because,
yes,
like, because I didn't make Double Plus standing in this parking,
yes,
space. So.
Quite.
And then I guess we should also point out that the building adjacent to this, on the north side, is 4633 Insurance Lane, another office building, which we in time, I forget what year, we took that over. I know it was prior to 1980, so it must have been 79 maybe.
Okay.
We had run out of space and we were adding staff and we had a lot of people, so we took over that building as well. Mainly for offices, although we did move our dubbing and editing facility over there as well.
Okay.
And the one funny thing I told you yesterday about that is because at the time the buildings were owned by two different guys, we couldn't get permission to connect them internally. We wanted to bust through a little door so we could go through, and they couldn't agree to let us do that. Although we had the phone wiring was connected, they didn't mind that, but... So what happens is, if I was in my office and I needed to sit down and have a meeting with somebody whose office was over there, you'd have to come out the door, walk whatever that is, 30 feet down the street, go back in again, which was fine on most days. There were a few cold and rainy days where that was a bit of an adventure.
A welcome burst of reality before continuing.
Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you.